It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow. Yeah.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being fired for fighting bigotry.
Oh, yeah.
You can join our chat room, The Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking on air. Number to call in if you want to early on, because then you can't. 845-986-8804. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by the working hurt, Pip Helix. We'll get to that in a second.
Everybody.
Joe will be calling in at 8 o'clock. We thought we would have Joe this week. So once again, your captain will guide you through this with a skeleton crew. On the show, we will discuss if stars should be removed from the Walk of Fame, a waitress gets fired for kicking out a bigot, a man is allowed to have a Jail 45 license plate, and then he's not. Las Vegas has a new slogan, a brand new scamming scammers, as we'll meet my, fake Davin's latest girlfriend, Han. And on the Afterbirth show, a dental assistant was fired for being pro-Trump. Is that the reason why she was fired? So much to get to. First of all, I feel confident. I don't want to jinx us. I feel confident that I have the situation fixed from last week's technical difficulties, which was a nightmare. We had to stop and restart the show like 12 times. I feel it was a cord issue. It's nice and snug, like a big penis and a tight vagina.
Ooh.
So I feel good about that. Because before it was a small penis and a large vagina, and there was too much wiggle room.
That hot dog was right down that hallway.
Yeah, well, it's what I work with, so it was familiar to me.
But
I feel good about this, so hopefully we can give you a better listening experience. So I will be doing the bulk of the talking for now. First, we'll start with Joe. Joe was supposed to be here. Joe has another day program thing. It has been a month without Joe. Joe hopes to call in around 8. It's always better when we can have Joe in studio, but really, he usually gets here around 7:30 or so anyway, but it's always good to have Joe. So Joe will not be on the Afterbirth show.
We are temporarily Joe-less.
We are Joe-less. It's sad to be Joe-less. Everybody needs a little more Joe in their life, except for his ex-wife, who is probably a lot happier with less Joe in her life. And then there's Pip. We go into week 5 of the Pip ailments. So Pip has been battling. And I had noticed on her social media page that she was fighting with her, as she calls them, overlords. So she seemed kind of spunky. So I thought maybe Pip was on the road to recovery. And then Pip does what she often does. Pip makes a fatal food flaw, as she often does. And I must say, once again, it is because Pip does not listen to your host and master of all, me. So what does Pip do? She's feeling a little better. Starting to beat this month-long bug that her doctors can't seem to kick because they're oh so good. Ugh. And then what's she do? She gets cocky. Pip gets cocky. Which, if you're Pip Helix in that immune system, you should never get cocky. You should be walking around with an ambulance trailing you wherever you go.
Can I get that?
You probably could, but I don't know if it's in your pay grade.
Oh, at that's
the
too
very
bad.
At the very least, I should be on speed dial for every decision, big and small. For a fee, because quite frankly, I can't be available all the time for free. So what does Pip do? She's starting to feel better. Starting to get a little bit of that swagger back. That Pip Helix swagger that we all love so much and that we haven't heard in over a month. So as you guys know, I've been carrying this fucking thing for over a month. That's not what this is for.
It's lucky that you're not carrying me.
Yeah, well, I'm not getting paid enough for that.
No.
So what does Pip do? Pip makes a fatal flaw this month. Feeling good? feeling confident, feeling cocky. She goes to her favorite deli, feeling good about things. And what does Pip do? She gets the chicken salad sandwich. The chicken salad sandwich is a close relative to the tuna fish sandwich. And it's like, you really don't get that when you eat out. It's a rookie mistake. Because like tuna, chicken has two things that can get you. The protein itself. Chicken can turn on you like a bitch. That salmonella could be a real motherfucker. And the mayonnaise. It's a two-pronged attack. And Pip gets the chicken salad sandwich feeling good about herself. And then what does she come? What happens? She shows up on my doorstep with a cat by her feet. I don't know this cat. She's petting this cat. This cat realizes there's something evil inside Pip and actually hisses at Pip. Pip, who is a lover of all cats, gets hissed at by this cat. The cat does not move but senses there is something evil within you. This cat hisses. I do not know this. Like a fool inviting a vampire in, I invite Pip into the house where Pip tells me, where I ask her, how are you? I just want him feeling good. Feeling good, glad to be. That's what I want. Haven't had that since 2019 from Pip. That's what I wanted. Thought I was going to get that. Can't tell if she's pale or not because she's always fucking pale. What do I get? My stomach. I might puke. Do you have Pepto or Imodium AD? No, we don't have that. Why would we? All I can offer you is Tums. Tums for when you puke. It comes out rainbow color, which we know from last week, rainbows are gay. You're going to puke some homosexual stuff. You got, and like that, Pip is out of here. Like, as if on cue, the only time Pip has ever listened to a prompt, we look forward to the colors, clean up after yourself. So that's the deal with Pip. Now you just got me. Now you just got me working solo. So we wish Pip a godspeed. We wish the best of luck to my toilet, to the bathroom, because it's going to go through some things right now. Maybe we'll get an interview with the bathroom at some point. So that's what we're working with over here. But that's all right. I got some shit to talk to you about. What do we want to talk to you about? All right, I will tell you about the most absurd comedy complaint I have ever heard. Now, here's the thing about comedy. People like to complain. They like to bitch. I've heard them as show producer, you know, owner of Side-Splitting Productions. I've certainly heard them as a comedian, whether said to me or about other comics. And, you know, sometimes they're valid. Often they're not. I mean, I've told the story several years, several years ago, I was headlining a club in the suburbs of D.C., and I'd done about 45 minutes to an hour, and I have a joke about diabetes. It's not a terribly offensive joke. And somebody comes up to me after sitting through the whole show, says, my such and such, might have been her husband, her daughter, I don't know, somebody has diabetes. She was offended. She listened to 45 minutes to an hour of me doing jokes about race and God knows whatever else I was talking about that time. I assure you there was other things you could be offended by if you were of that persuasion. But it was the diabetes joke that got her. Diabetes. So which case I said, so do I, which I do not, but I lied to her to get her away. Maybe we could share a needle together. That's what I said. And that seemed to placate her. Or she just realized that I was a deviant and she was going to get no sympathy from me. I will say now, as I'm older, I have even less tolerance for it. I probably would have entertained it more back in the day when I was a younger man. Now, I don't. Because now we have social media. Social media, this has to be before social media. Social media is so prevalent that people could complain and everybody has to know about. I mean, it's the same thing like sites like TripAdvisor and Yelp or whatever. And we're going to, on the Afterbirth show, we're gonna talk about one of those stories where somebody went to a social media page and complained about somebody. And that person doesn't have a job anymore. So everybody has their opinion. You can never really verify if their opinion, if their take, if their offense, if you will, is justified or not. But everybody has their opinion, and we all get to hear it. So, last month, we did a show at my venue in Newburg, New York, River Grill. Been clients of mine 7 years? I don't know. Great ownership, great staff, great food. Newburg, New York, River Grill. Can't recommend it more to you folks. If you really want to go for a nice steak dinner or anything, they're right on the river. Okay. enough about that. So we do the show. So I've gotten friendly with some of the staff. That, you know, it's a lot of the same staff. I've been there for years. The owner's great. So I'm talking to one of the staff, and she goes, "We got a complaint about one of the comics last month." As somebody who produces shows, that's the last thing you want to hear. Believe it or not, when we perform or when we put these shows together, the last thing we really want to do is offend somebody so much where they walk out, they get rowdy, they complain. That's not really what we want to do. Do some of us want to be provocative? Absolutely. I will make you uncomfortable because I will make you laugh at things you don't think you should be laughing at. And that's okay. There's comics like me who do that. As I call myself, I'm a heel comic. There's also other comics who don't want to go down that road, who want to play it very safe, who want to talk about relationships or dogs or, you know, as Joe says, dogs are funny, whatever it is, airplane food, whatever it is. There's no right or wrong. It's just what you as an artist, and yes, I do consider comedians artists, choose to do. And it's what you as a consumer, which is what you are if you're an audience member and you come to a comedy show, you're a consumer. It's what tickles your fancy. You might, you know, there could be two equally great comics. We'll say Dennis Miller and Ellen DeGeneres, hugely successful. You might find Ellen boring. Yeah, you might find Dennis boring. Neither one is wrong. They're both very successful, very good at what they do. Okay, so I hear there's a complaint. What is this complaint? A woman who was at the show last month called the following day after the show. She's right. Hold on. Pip is coming. Why am I telling you to hold on? I'm the one who has to hold on. You don't have to hold on. You're just sitting there. Pip is coming down the stairs. There's a little smile on her face. Did Pip, well, she's sitting down. Does Pip need a mint?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? You want me to get you some gum or something?
No, it's okay. I'm all right.
You feel good?
No, but I feel better.
You got it out.
Some of it.
You got that demon sperm out.
Oh, whatever was ailing me decided that it needed to leave this host.
Okay.
So.
Well, all right. I'll continue with the story. You jump in.
Okay.
When you want. You look a little better now, but I know this could come in waves.
Yeah.
So the wife is on her way with some Pepto.
It takes a village.
It does. Or at least a bathroom. I hope you put the fan on.
Yeah.
Good girl. So I will continue with this. Pip, that should be warm. She's drinking Coca-Cola. That should be warm cola.
I'm just sipping a slight little bit.
Do you want me to see if I have any, like, warm ginger ale or?
No, this is okay.
Okay. We got, you know, listen. And she's coughing. That's not good. Listen, we're down a host tonight. If I lose two, you guys get 3+ hours of me. And unless you're in bed with me, because then it's fucking tremendous. You don't want me talking for that long by myself. That's not funny.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. So we get this complaint. I'm talking about the most absurd complaint I've ever heard.
Oh, okay.
And I've not gotten to it yet.
Okay, good.
Yes. So the woman who works at the club gets this complaint. Woman calls. African-American woman calls. We were at the show last night. An older African-American woman. We were at the table. Well, you know, one of the comics said something that offended me. So the girl from the club goes, well, you know, I'm sorry to hear that, but we're not responsible for what the comedians say. And right. She's telling me, that, I go, good girl. Good girl. Distance yourself from me as fast as you can. That's always a winning strategy. I have no issue with that because they're not responsible.
No.
They're trusting me. And I'm at that show. I'm like, what the hell could have happened? Well, I was at the table where the comic made fun of us. And the woman from the River Grove goes, well, he made fun of every table. Which table was that?
Yeah.
And the comic was going around, and he was one of these comics that likes to do the crowd work and make fun of everybody. Okay, whatever. So she goes, well, we were the African-Americans sitting in the front. Okay, so what did he say that offended you? Well.
What didn't he say?
He was talking to my son, who's an adult, by the way, in his
30s. Yeah, I figured.
He was talking to my son, and he was talking about how he had a big dick. Well, I've never.
Oh, my God.
So let me get this right. You're offended because the comedian said your son has a big dick. So the woman goes, how am I supposed to feel about that? And the correct answer is proud.
Yes.
is the correct thought. If the comedian said, your son has a small dick. All right. Again, really not worth a phone call.
No.
But again, if your son has a big dick, high five. I did that. That came out of me. Yeah, it knocked the shit out of the sides on the way out. But yeah, he's got bitches left and right. Yeah. And do you really think the son would be happy, who's an adult, would be happy that mom is calling the club to bitch about how the comic is in front of a room full of strangers, men and women, how big your cock is?
And you're getting the plus size compliment.
Yes. Yeah. This is
Lisa in the chat says, or no dick.
Well, it wasn't talking about me. I'm talking about the.
No.
Hi, Lisa. But yeah. So the club goes, well, we can sit you in the back next time. She's like, what do you want? Do you want something? Do you want like free cocktail? Do you want something free? What do you want?
Yeah.
And the woman's like, and so the woman must have realized how absurd this complaint was. She's like, no, I don't want anything. What a stupid, out of all the things to complain about, the comic said your adult son who's with his wife has a really big dick. That offended you. That was the line. Out of all the things we can say as comics and human beings, your son has a big dick. Well, I've never. We didn't say you were fucking your son's big dick. We didn't say that.
No.
I wasn't on stage. It could have happened if I said. We said your son. And the comic said, and I've thought this too, that's the one stereotype black people never get offended by.
No.
You never have a black guy stand up and go, that's offensive, sir. That's racist. How dare you assume we all have big dicks? I am working with a 2-inch cock right here. I want you and everybody else to know it. I will not have you stereotype. Not on my watch. Never happened in the history of comedy.
No, that's not one that anybody really objects to.
Exactly. I would be thrilled if strangers would point to me and go, and announce publicly, he's got a big dick. Nothing would make me, not only would I not complain, I would buy your dinner. I'd go, thank you.
Really?
We need more of this. How can we encourage this? But this woman complained that the comic said her son has a big dick.
She really needs to get a life, as Lisa said in the chat, and I agree wholeheartedly.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
That this is the most absurd thing anybody's ever complained about.
I really can't. I'm trying to think of anything that would be on the level. I mean, like if there was a beautiful woman and somebody said, wow, you're really beautiful. Not in a pervy way.
Not you have nice tits, which,
right,
yeah,
you know,
which
or,
I try to stay away
or
from.
What
now
a nice
too.
Body, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just like you're really beautiful. It's like. And you're going to have a problem with that?
I can
actually see a woman having a problem
you're
with that.
You're objectifying me.
Yes,
I am.
Yes,
I am, because I want to do unspeakable things. But this is a dude. We don't think that same way.
No, you don't.
No. Tell me I look good. Please.
Please. And tell me that you are fantasizing about my giant dick.
Yes! More of this.
Well, and coming out of my voice, that was probably a bizarre moment.
Not as much as you would think.
No, I know. I often brag about the size of my own dick, but I you know.
You display it quite frequently every Tuesday night.
I know.
So yeah, that is the most absurd.
It's really a stupid thing to be upset about. It's really just like, you really need a life.
I had posted on Facebook on a comment that I would talk about this tonight, and I have. The most absurd thing I've ever heard anybody complain about, and that is that. And there's a reason for that. We'll get to that in a second. But I want to touch on this quickly because Pip asked me to touch on this. And this is part two, I guess, of my Aerosmith rant.
Yeah.
I guess because Pip and Joe, you know, I think agreed with my take on Aerosmith last week.
Yeah, I think so.
And so this week they did the Grammys. And yeah. I talked last week how Joey Kramer, because they're having an internal spat and he was injured and he hadn't rehearsed with them, was not going to be able to perform where they're being honored at Music Cares. And actually, there was footage of him trying to get into the practice at Music Cares.
I saw that.
And the two security guards are like, we can't let you in here. We're told not to let you in here. And Joey Kramer handled it like a gentleman. He's like, all right, you're just doing your job.
Yep.
And he walked away like a sad panda.
Yeah, he did. I mean, that was... and they glanced at the camera, realizing they're capturing this. And it's a really humiliating moment.
Yeah.
And he really handled it well.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man.
And then they all get up there on stage that night. We all love each other. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
That's not fucking love. So then we're told he cannot, and we don't know what's really going on, but we just know it's being reported.
Yeah.
We're told he cannot perform at the Grammys. They're playing one song. They're playing Walk This Way, a song he's played a million times.
Right.
He cannot perform at the Grammys where they're being honored. I don't know what. No, they're not even being honored. He cannot perform at the Grammys because he's not had a chance to rehearse. So the drum tech, who's been filling in, I guess, for the past 6 months,
right,
will have to fill in. Again, one fucking song. All he's got to do is Walk This Way. One fucking song.
They've done a million.
All he's got to do. No, the cameras are not going to be on Joey Kramer very much anyway. They're going to be where they always are, on the lead singer Steven Tyler and the first guitar number one Joey Perry. That Joe Perry. That's where they're going to be. And then the two surviving members of Run DMC are going to come out and they're going to do Walk This Way.
Yeah.
That's what we're told. Now Pip and I have actually seen Aerosmith perform with Run DMC, one time one member, one time all of Run DMC, and Kid Rock live together. Pip and I actually went to that concert, and I want to say it was 2002 or 2003. We actually went to that together.
Yeah, it was quite a while ago.
And Pip and I have known each other quite a while. I remember Pip when she was healthy.
when was that time?
A long time ago, dear. We saw them do Walk This Way with Aerosmith, Run DMC, Kid Rock.
Mm-hmm.
It was fucking amazing.
It was really good.
Done really well.
Yes.
So Joey Kramer cannot perform Walk This Way on the Grammys, a song he's played a million times. They don't do the Grammys every year because they don't want to. They don't want a subpar performance. This is the horseshit we are led to believe.
Okay.
This is what we're. We can't put a drum kit behind the stage. We can't fill in with tracks like every other fucking band their age is doing in this town. We can't have background singers like we do for Steven Tyler because he can't hit every goddamn note anymore,
right,
which is fine. Pip and I saw them several months ago in Vegas. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yes, they had support singers. It didn't fucking matter. It was an amazing concert. Pip and I did not sit there from our balcony seats in judgment. How dare they with these background? If he can't hit every note, Steven Tyler should be fed to the lions.
I want my money back.
He must be dismissed. No, no. We enjoyed it. And we were happy to see not one, not two, not three, not four, but all five members of Aerosmith. That's what we paid for.
Yeah.
That's what the fans want. We are willing to. We understand these men are in their late 60s, early 70s. We understand to do what they are doing is very hard to do.
Yeah.
It's very physically demanding.
Sure. I can't believe the Stones are still out there doing it.
We are willing to overlook support musicians.
Yeah.
I saw Kiss on the final farewell tour. You know what? Supposedly they're lip syncing. I still paid the money. It's not even original Kiss. It's two members of original Kiss. Because
right.
We're fans.
It's still Aerosmith, Lisa says. Yes, it's still.
Well, it was almost Aerosmith.
It was not
quite
light.
It was not quite Aerosmith.
No.
So what do we get? So they start with Living on the Edge. And then they go into Walk This Way. One of the guys from DMC, I think it's Rev Run, very, very fat.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
He wasn't always that way.
No.
Black can only do so much in the slimming category. Trust me, I know.
Yeah. What?
Well, you know, so they say black. No, not his race. Black is slimming. They dress in all black.
Oh!
No, nothing to do with his race.
I was like, what does that mean?
No, okay. They wear black.
Oh, gotcha. Yes, true.
That's fine. He's big. He's not torn anymore.
No.
It's fine. I got to tell you, Steven Tyler sounded terrible. And you know I love me some Steven Tyler.
Yeah, I know.
They're doing Walk This Way, and at one point, the camera zooms in on Joey. Not Joey, excuse me, Joe Perry. Zooms in on Joe Perry because he's up there with Steven Tyler. It doesn't even look like he's playing.
Oh, God.
Then they're trying to do some dance shit. You know, Steven Tyler's corralling women that are sitting in front, and he's trying to do that kick thing that he likes to do that he did with Run DMC where he's got to, I'm doing it in my chair, by the way.
I know. I was like, that's really great radio. I was like, I'm explaining
you, bitch. Where he's got his arms around them, and he's doing the kick with the girls. Now, these girls don't know what's happening. They were tripping all over each other.
Right.
It was god-awful. Aerosmith sounded awful. It was uncoordinated. And I'm thinking, you did Joey Kramer a favor for not having him up there. There's no way Joey Kramer could have made this performance any fucking worse. For Aerosmith to be the lowlight of a fucking Grammy, embarrassing. And good, I say. You got what you want.
Yeah, you got what you deserve.
Yes, you got what you deserve. You had to do your boy dirty. You know what? I don't know. Maybe he's hopped up on shit. Maybe it's, I don't. There's no. But
didn't look like it on the run TMZ, the TMZ
right.
tape.
You know, maybe you would have liked him to rehearse more. You know what though? 50 fucking years. You let him play the Grammys. You let him do the Music Cares, and then you go, listen, if you want to play these dates where we're doing 2-hour shows, you got to be better.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to be better than this. Is just really short. You deserve this. But they didn't. They did their boy dirty.
They did.
So what did they do? They fucking embarrassed themselves. They shit all over. And you know I love me some Aerosmith.
I know.
Awful.
So disappointing.
Yeah. So I invite all who want to see what friendship looks like when it goes shitty and what you get. YouTube Aerosmith on the Grammys. I had to watch. I recorded the Grammys because I wanted to see, because I'm still a fan.
Yeah.
But I watched. It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
If I paid money, like if we flew to fucking Vegas,
right, to watch this.
Yeah. I mean, and we saw the band before Joey Kramer got hurt. Mm-hmm. You know what? If Joey Kramer gets hurt and they got to put the tech in, you're disappointed. We go, it happens.
Right.
I've seen Aerosmith when Tom Hamilton was battling throat cancer.
Right.
And they had another guy up there and they never had the spotlight on him. He just stood in the back, but they needed somebody to play bass. Okay, this is not the case. We don't know how many more years we get of these guys together.
Right.
You let us fans down and you shit the bed. If you're so worried about how you're going to look on stage, you better come better than with that fucking performance. Embarrassed us.
Oh, yeah. No, it's pathetic when, you know, they decided that, I mean, we don't know what's going on in the background, but they really make themselves look bad. And then, to top it all off, like the little obnoxious, toxic cherry on top, they did a terrible performance. It's like, could he really have been that bad? And
we wouldn't notice. Wait, nobody notices the drummer.
They're in the back. I do pay attention to them, but not everybody notices. I mean,
you pay attention because your husband's a drummer.
Exactly.
The average fan is not sitting wherever they're sitting and going, drummer doesn't sound good tonight.
Most of the time, no. And the same thing really the lead, with bass.
Yeah, we noticed the lead singer.
Yep.
The more advanced of us. Yeah, we'll notice like the lead guitar. Really, we just notice the singing.
Yeah.
If you want to be fair, the people like myself who love music but have no musical ability other probably than writing lyrics, but no real musical ability.
Yeah.
Well, we don't notice.
No, I know. Well, and non-musicians like myself, I mean, I appreciate it. And I spend a lot of time, you know, listening to it and everything. I have a little bit of an understanding of music. I did take music theory in school and stuff, but I don't play an instrument just because I don't have the talent.
I told you what I did in music. Like, I took it in college, what, one semester of it, because you have to.
Oh, you really?
Did I ever tell you what I did?
No, I don't think so.
Davin, the real me, in certain classes was more like fake Davin.
Uh-oh.
You know, a little shifty. Little shifty Adam Schiff.
I can't imagine that.
A little shifty. So we had to go see, I can't believe, I've told my daughter this story, which is a horrible story to tell. I'm a terrible influence. We had to go see a classical performance of some sort on our own time in the city. You know, on our own, that was part of it, and then write a report on it. That's what we had to do.
Okay.
Got to tell you, not really a fan of classical music.
A lot of people are not.
I know, but it's fine. I understand why people like it. It's not my thing. And a lot of the musicians I love are influenced by classical music. And because the blues was influenced by it. Because everything was influenced by it.
Sure.
Not me. So your pal pulled a little fake Davin.
Uh-oh.
Pulled a little fake Davin. Never went to said performance. Instead, wrote a report about what said performance might be. Completely fucking fake.
Oh, no.
Complete with somebody big in front of me, and I couldn't say
what it could have been.
What it could have been. But that's not what I this was my quote unquote experience.
Oh, yes.
I got a B+ on that fucking paper.
You know, you're a good bullshitter though.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, I am. I am a good liar.
He said so proudly.
No, I am. Listen. You won't benefit from it. You won't benefit from it when with the scamming the scammer.
Oh, yeah.
And the various characters I create. It's not really lying, it's storytelling.
No, it's creative license.
You know what it is? You know what? I'm a fucking better liar, and I don't want to get political. I'm a better liar than our president.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a moron. He's not even good at lying, which is the shit that pisses me off. I know there's been a show or two where I've ranted and I'm so pissed off. It's like, he's not even trying.
I know. It's like, could you please do better with the lying?
Yes.
Could you at least cover your tracks a little bit?
Yes. Pretend you can't. Pretend you think we give a shit.
It's insulting.
It is insulting. But yeah, so there was that story. Okay. So I guess the again, it's going to be a lot of me talking tonight. So sorry, folks.
I'm so sorry. I'm just I think that Devin said earlier that I was pale. I'm pretty sure I'm a strange shade of green.
You feeling any better?
A little bit.
Okay. Okay.
But I promise nothing.
All right. But you are settling a little bit. You know, it might be some good time to take some more Tums because you probably got those out of your system.
Yeah, I sure did.
Rainbow might be a good time to. Settle down. Now, this might be awful advice.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're going to find out how this goes.
Yeah.
So, you know, usually I say I'm going to give you the right advice, but I really don't know how this is going to go.
Yeah, you're not a stomach ailment person.
I've had stomach ailments. The worst is when you got it coming and going at the same time.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the worst. All right.
When I was a child, I thought that when people threw up, it was pink. Because the only times I had ever thrown up was after people gave me Pepto-Bismol.
Which is what you asked the wife to bring home.
I know, but I mean, like, it works, but it's just like, but it's also sometimes nothing's going to work.
No.
So one time when I was little, we lived in an apartment building and we're standing next to the dumpster. And somebody had obviously thrown up on the ground and I didn't know what it was. It looked disgusting. I'm like, Dad, what's that? He's like, oh, somebody threw up. And I was like, but it's not pink. And I thought he was going to pee himself laughing. He was like, what? And I'm like, throw up is pink. Well, that's what I know.
Quick inquiring mind, then we'll move on from your stomach. In lieu of today's developments.
Yes.
Do you get chicken salad at the deli again?
No.
I said, Pip, you got to bring stuff from home. She's like, I did bring it from home. I go, no, you don't live at the deli. That's not your home. It has to be fresh chicken salad that you made. It has to be fresh tuna salad that you made.
I think that's what made me go upstairs before. Let's not talk about salads.
Okay. There shan't be a stop at Wendy's tonight. Mr. Helix will have to fend for himself.
There wasn't going to be, but.
Mr. Helix will fend for himself.
Definitely not going to be now.
Yes. Yes. All right. So the other big story. Was Kobe Bryant, his 13-year-old daughter, and 7 other people passing away. Now, I will tell you how I found out about the story.
How?
I was talking to my beloved.
Oh.
And she goes, a famous fake... Because I had been binging Man in the High Castle all day on Sunday.
What is that?
That's a show which you can watch on your fucking Fire Stick that I gave you.
Once I'm well.
It's 4 seasons. This was the last season of what happens if the Axis powers, the Nazis and Japan, won the war.
Oh, boy.
So it's really good. You know, I enjoyed it. I'm like, all right, this has been out since November. I got some time. Let me binge watch. So I binge watched that. But I was talking to my girlfriend. Love her. Oh, so good. So good. I can't wait for you guys to meet her. But that's not tonight. This is a different girl tonight. A famous basketball player died. And I didn't know who it was. And then when I got done talking with her, I turned on CNN and, you know, it was Kobe Bryant. Terrible news. So, a little background on Kobe Bryant, if you don't know who he is. Basketball player, retired 4 years ago. One of the best to ever play the game. Los Angeles Lakers. An extremely fierce competitor. Widely respected on the court, had gone on to mentor players over the past few years, had been a fierce advocate of the past couple years for the WNBA, the Women's Basketball Association, was on his way to coach his 13-year-old daughter or at a practice. He died in a helicopter crash He took helicopters were part of his daily routine because he lived 2 hours away from the Staples Center where they played, and he felt it saved his body by taking helicopters. So this wasn't a random thing. Also, in the Kobe Bryant history, and I want to say in 2003, there was allegations of a rape in Colorado that went away. As often allegations when people have money do, they settled. She decided not to testify. They kind of made the woman sound unstable, but she got a big payout. Kobe made nicey nice with his high school sweetheart, who is the wife and mother of his children. I remember her, like, she showed up with like a huge diamond ring.
Huge ring. Right. Yeah.
That's part of the Kobe Bryant story, too, which a lot of people don't want to talk about now, but it is part of the history. Again, never convicted. Never went to trial. Part of the allegations. I do believe he admitted he was a serial cheater. Fine. You know what? That doesn't mean you deserve to die in a helicopter crash. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. Doesn't mean any of that. It's just part of the Kobe Bryant story.
Right.
And the reason I say this, give you that background, is so I can get into this. So I guess some comedians were making jokes immediately after it happened.
Oh.
See, that's a human reaction about the helicopter crash. Now, I must say, I did not really see a lot of these jokes, although a friend texted me one, and he goes, who's a comic, he goes, "I like my Kobe flame broiled."
Ouch.
And I said, "The word horrible has called in to complain about being associated with you."
Nice reply.
Yeah. Now, I could tell you that I am above making jokes about human tragedy, but I'd be a liar. And I'm not in fake Davin mode, because I remember in the early 2000s, there was a pitcher with the Yankees. He was a free agent at the time, but he had just played with the Yankees. His name was Corey Lytle. I don't know if you remember Corey Lytle.
The name rings a bell, but I'm not a really big bell.
Okay. He was flying his own personal plane, and he crashed into a building in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he died. Fortunately, at that time, there was no social media. But I will tell you, I did bring to the stage Corey Lytle jokes.
Uh-oh.
They went well. I'm a good writer. They went well. So, would I do that now? Probably not, because I don't find it. Not because, oh, that's wrong, and I'm more evolved. I don't want to give myself that type of credit. It just doesn't really scratch me where I comedically itch.
Yeah.
It's not something. Not because I'm better. It just doesn't inspire me to write comedy anymore. And I've talked about on 9/11 when I was on the phone with comics. Again, before we, I didn't realize the enormity of this. But obviously, if buildings go down, people are dying.
Yes.
There were jokes that we shared, very dark jokes, which is how a lot of people deal with.
That's how they cope with that kind of evil.
Yes. We were telling each other very dark jokes.
Yeah.
Again, thank God there was no social media at the time. I don't know if I would have posted it, but I did. I remember somebody got very mad at me because I posted a joke about the Boston bombing right when it happened. But it was before they had said anybody died. And that was not one of those situations where you assume people died. Because there were reports coming in, and there were not reports of people dying, but we did have social media, and I put it out there. Another comic went off on me and wound up unfriending me because he had people there or in Boston or something.
Oh, wow.
Whatevs. So when I talk about what I'm going to talk about, I'm not saying this as somebody who has always made the right decision, who's always the good guy, who is the good guy now. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not. You know. But so I saw these complaints from other comics about comics making jokes about Kobe Bryant. I really not seen them. I saw one thing, which was posted, which did not even really seem like a joke. Which would seem like hate. I will not give this person publicity. I will not say that person's name. However, if you're a longtime listener of the show, this is a person that I did call out several years ago on this show, because during his Comedy Central special, he felt it necessary to target essentially, I guess, what was an open micer or not on the same level comic,
yeah,
who also was handicapped.
Oh, man.
Now, listen, if you're a comic, you know, and you can be made fun of, too.
Sure.
But to make fun of somebody on their special, you can't punch back.
No.
There's not. You listen, if we're in the club and you're going at me and I can yell at you from the back of the room, you have the microphone, but I'm not defenseless. I can say something.
Right. But like you said, that's punching down.
Yeah. So, and then I was on a show with that person, and I did not cross paths with them, but I also did not go out of my way to introduce myself,
right,
because this is not somebody I want to associate with. This person's pretty well known, has been on Anthony's show.
Oh.
His fans like him because he's also been on the Joe Rogan show. I feel like Joe might know him.
Oh, okay.
But I wouldn't say that Joe and this person are friends.
Right.
I wouldn't say that. And I don't know how Joe really feels about this person. I do remember us all agreeing at the time that I think I remember us doing that. We all agreed to do that on the special was a poor taste.
Yeah, it's kind of lame. You know, what are you going to do? You're kicking the guys below you. What are you doing?
So this person put out something particularly hateful.
Of course, because that seems to be their milieu.
Yeah, it's like, all right, you want to get people talking about you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fine. Other than that, I have not personally seen a lot of what my friend texted me, which I shared with you, which in the grand scheme of things is not the most horrible thing.
No.
So I can't even say I wouldn't have done it. I just don't find it funny anymore. But I don't care if you want to do it. But I'm seeing these people, these comedians who are always on, like, comedians should be able to say everything. The whole Shane Gillis thing with the
yeah,
Chinese accent, which was completely hacky and unoriginal.
Terrible.
Defending them, comedians should be able to say everything. Now this is the line. The Kobe Bryant story was the line. Why is this the line? Because you liked him?
Yeah.
I mean, you support racist comedy. That was hurting people. Because am I really supposed to give a shit that much about his daughter dying? I don't really think so. But for some reason, this strikes you to the point where they're like going, if I see a comic posting Kobe Bryant jokes, I will not hire them in my club. Really?
Really?
So now it's going to be pretty empty stages if comics who don't do offensive material have never said something offensive or inappropriate or crass are being held to account. So, I mean, you're going to have a lot of empty stages. Is that what we're doing? Really? You, the defender of free speech? This is the line? Come on, man. Just be consistent. Again, I'm not saying I want to see people doing those jokes. I'm not saying I want to hear those jokes. I'm not saying I'm above doing those jokes. I'm not saying I'm going to write those jokes. But I'm just like, you know what? Let them do what they want to do.
Right.
Be prepared for the consequences. And if you don't want to hire them for your club, I think it's kind of silly to ban somebody over social media over what's obviously a joke. But if you don't want to hire them, that's fine. But don't come back to me next time when it's one of your friends who does something and defend them when they get in trouble for saying something that is perceived as homophobic.
A lot of people are only offended when it touches them personally.
And I got no tolerance for that.
Yeah, I know.
It's just like, I mean, where is the line? If we're going to allow comics to say shit, then you got to allow comics to fuck up, too.
Yeah, I mean, there is a push-me-pull-you aspect of where is the line and what's tolerated and when. Timing has a lot to do with it, of course, always does, but I mean, like...
Well, I mean, that's the thing. These comics...
Tragedies.
These comics want to be the first to
yeah.
get the... And listen, I get it. It comes to your mind... And we're about to lose Pip. it comes to your mind, and you want to be out there. See, that's the thing about comedy. Timing, like so many things in life, is very important in comedy. So we feel like if we're the first one to get it out there, everybody's going to be talking about us. And unfortunately, comics make a lot of bad decisions. Well, they're self-destructive. They don't think about their career, so they put it out there. But again, are we really going to hold them responsible for that? Are you really going to stop? Do you want your comedy that safe where nothing offends it? Because as I told you earlier in this show, a black man being told he has a big dick offended somebody. So I don't know where the line is. I just think it's kind of interesting that now comics, as they often do, are turning on other comics, and they go, I would never, it's crass, it's hack. And listen, these are comics saying this that either themselves or on their stages have comics talking about priests being pedophiles to kids, talk about, you know, beat your kids. You know, in our day, you know, these kids today, they're so soft. You know, oh, timeout. What's a timeout? You know what a timeout was? Timeout was when my dad was beating my ass. And I said, Dad, timeout, timeout. You got to beat your kids. So many of these comics have that. Nobody's offended. Is beating your kids not offensive? I mean, is that what we're supporting? Supporting physically violating children? Is that okay? Again, that being said, jokes about Kobe Bryant in this helicopter crash with his young daughter and the seven other people who died doesn't scratch me where I itch. I'm not better than you. I'm not better than those comics who are doing those jokes. I've done inappropriate stuff. I still do inappropriate stuff. I am the heel comic. But I'm not going to judge them. And you, as a consumer, have to decide. Do you want comics to push the limits? And if you do, they're going to do things in poor taste. But other times they're going to be provocative. And they're going to say the things that you're thinking in a comedic way. Or do you want us all to play it safe? Because there is a backlash. And it's not just from audience members. It's from other comics. It's from comedy club owners. So you got to decide what you want as a consumer. Me, personally, people could say whatever they want. You just have to be prepared for the repercussions. I don't think I would hold it against somebody if they said a joke that I knew was a joke that was offensive. I don't think I would. I just, you know, would probably scroll past it. So that's my take. And then it comes out that they flew in the fog. I don't know why they do this. I don't, you know, I think you're trained with instruments or sight. But either way, it's like there's the judgment when you take off. You hear some of these crashes, they took off in bad weather. You know what's better than taking off in bad weather? Not fucking taking off. Just stay there. Drive. Be late. It's just not worth it. It's the same thing when these people drive drunk, these athletes drive drunk. You don't have to do that. You can get a limo. It's just bad decisions. And, you know, and I saw somebody saying it. If I have to ask, a pilot saying, if I have to ask myself, should I take off on this? I've already answered that. The answer is no. If I am questioning it, then the answer is no. All right. The last thing I want to get to, and then I guess we'll take a break and play some music. And hopefully Pip rejoins us. Hopefully Joe rejoins us. I can't even see the chat room right now. You people are probably saying like amazing things. And honestly, I can't even see the chat room. Although my text just went off. What's that? Anyway, okay. So the last thing. I'm standing here in my house, as I'm wont to do. Pip's gone for a long time. I will say, whatever's in her does not want to come out this time. It is doing the cha-cha on her insides. Why the fuck would you get chicken salad? It's always a bad move. Anyway, enough about that. I'm standing here, and the wife goes to me, you know, we don't have burial plots yet. What? Am I at that age? Am I at that age? I still consider myself young. You know, I know I got some gray hairs, and I've talked about before. You know, the hairline is not what it once was. Now it takes me a little while to bounce back. But at 45, the age when I have to consider a burial plot, I feel like I have another 10 years. But I could die. I could die before then. And then I guess I'll be homeless? What did they do? Put me in a freezer? Chop me up? Bury me in the backyard like a pet? I remember that was a big thing growing up. You'd bury your pet in the backyard, but my mom would always like freak out because it's like illegal. What happens if the neighbor tells? Who the fuck is reporting dead pets? It's not like Pet Cemetery. I mean, who the fuck cares what somebody does in their backyard? I don't know. So she goes, you have a burial plot. Do you want to be buried or cremated? I'm like, fuck. I don't know. Stuff me. Stuff me. I feel like I should be stuffed and paid in tribute. Not paid in tribute. What's that when you honor people? An altar. An altar? Maybe an altar. I feel like I should be there, probably with a microphone in my hand, probably pointing out, like I'm pointing to you. Like, I know you did something, motherfucker. This is how I should be in death. Pointing to you, like, I know you did something. And then maybe a soundtrack of some of my comedy clips playing in the background. Maybe something like that. I feel like that's something that should happen. But that won't happen. So do I want to be buried or cremated? See, in Jewish tradition, and you guys know how good I am with Jewish tradition. You guys know what a strong Jew I am. There's no fanfare when you die. You know, when Christians die, they don't put you in the grave. Sometimes they'll keep you around for a couple months. Then they'll put you, lay you in state, and, you know, people could tour around and go, oh, look at that. Or they'll have, like, a viewing. Jews, they don't do that. There's no viewing. There's no laying around. 24 hours, you're in the fucking ground, which means everybody has to stop everything from what they're doing and fly from wherever they are, drive from wherever they are, to pay honor. Because if you don't go, then you're a terrible human being. So the Jews want to get you right in the ground. That's the way they do it. And I'll tell you, it's in a pine box. There's no ornamentation. There's no pillow. It feels like they feel like death should be very uncomfortable. Now, I don't know if a coffin is how you go through the afterlife. I would hope not. I hope you get to go out of there. But if you do, if this is how you go through the afterlife, a pine box, no pillow, seems very uncomfortable. I'd like a velvet pillow. I'd like something to prop my head up. I'd like a little ornamentation on. You know, maybe Davin's Den. Maybe the website. Website would be nice. I don't know. Maybe pictures of me on the outside when I was young and supple as opposed to now when I'm dead, if I die of old age. So then I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I don't know. I haven't really thought about this. The wife decides she wants to be cremated. Her father was cremated. So all the three sisters have part of his ashes. My mother-in-law has part of the ashes. So in that way, their father is always with them, which is kind of sweet. But then I'm thinking, and by the way, I'm definitely dying first. My wife's family lived to they lived very old, like close to 100. They do good. Late 90s. They do really good. I'm going to die early. I mean, look at me. I'm going to die early. But that's okay. But then I think, but if she gets cremated and I get buried, I'm going to be all alone. I'm going to be all alone for eternity. I don't do well with strangers. I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm going to have nobody to talk to. I'm going to be surrounded by strangers. I'm going to have nobody to talk to ever. It's going to be very lonely. So then do I decide to get cremated just so I'm not alone? But then what happens? Like, if you, like, you take the form of what you were, and the only way to do that is by being buried whole? No, I don't want to be, like, dust in the afterlife. So I don't want to be homeless. I don't want to be alone. I'll have a home. It'll be the fucking ground. I don't want to be alone. And I don't want to be dust. So, again, I feel like the right answer for me is stuffed. I feel like that's the right answer. But if it's a choice between being buried alone and then or having ashes, I'd probably do ashes. Because as much as I don't like people, I don't want to be alone for eternity. So that's how I feel about that. Pip has been gone for a very long time. Hopefully Pip will return soon. I will tell you that much. I got to queue up some music for you guys on the break, so bear with me while I do that. I'm fighting with my glasses, if you can believe it. I never wear these glasses because I always forget. Can you believe I have glasses? I feel like I see worse with them than I do without them. I'm going to cue up some music for you, and hopefully we will regain Pip at some point. Let's see here. Bear with me. I know this is not what you guys were hoping for. I apologize. All right, there's the first song. And then I got to queue up the second song. We have two songs for you. They're from Deuce Music, as we often do with Deuce Music. We play some of their new artists or artists we've never had before, some of their new stuff. I like that. I like that we can bring you fresh music of all different styles. So we're going to play on the break some new music from Casey Brooks with Steppin' and Amico with Great North Road, and you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com. So you definitely want to check that out. Check out the website. Check them out. And when we come back, hopefully we'll have a co-host of some sort. We'll be talking about, should names be taken off the Hollywood Walk of Fame? I got to tell you right now, my voice is already kind of shot after an hour of really doing all the talking. So this will be fun because I got like another 2+ hours to go. So we'll talk about, should names be taken off the Hollywood Walk of Fame for some of these stars' not-so-good activities, including crimes. A waitress who was fired for kicking out a bigoted customer. Yeah, and that's insane, right? Let's see. What else do we have? Doo-doo-doo. Bear with me. I'm trying to get through. Oh, yes. This is probably my favorite story of the week, which we'll get to. A man had a jail 45 license plate, and then the state of Texas told him you can't have it no more. And Las Vegas has some slogans. So hopefully when we come back, we'll have a co-host or two. But either way, we're going to truck on. You're listening to Davin's.